This is a podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum. For further information, please go to www.rafmuseum.org/podcasts. In this edition, we tell the story of the famous air displays which made a name for the Royal Air Force and for the Hendon Airfield, which became a famous RAF station and later the London home of the Royal Air Force Museum.
The 1st of April 1918 was a landmark for British aviation, for it was on this day that the Royal Air Force was formed, signifying the acceptance of air power in its own right. However, this achievement was very nearly short-lived, as with the coming of peace, the future of this fledgling force was already in doubt. Britain's vast war machine was being rapidly dismantled, and it seemed unlikely that a separate air force would be necessary. In the words of the Prime Minister, David Lloyd George, the RAF's days as a separate department were numbered. Luckily, not everybody in government agreed with this sentiment, and political heavyweights like Sir Winston Churchill put their support behind Air Marshal Sir Hugh Trenchard's campaign to retain the RAF's independence. The RAF was given a reprieve, but found itself considerably scaled down and facing a future that was by no means secure. Nevertheless, Trenchard had a vision for the RAF, and he realised that success rested, in part, on support from the taxpayer. He needed to bring the RAF to the attention of the public, but there was little money available for a massive propaganda campaign. A cheap but effective method of showcasing the RAF was required, and the dormant aerodrome at Hendon would soon provide the ideal solution. The government had requisitioned the London aerodrome in 1917 under the Defence of the Realm Act. The aerodrome's proprietor, Claude Graham White, had gladly handed his property over for the good of the nation, expecting it to be returned to him once the war was over. However, by 1920, the aerodrome was still in government hands, and they were about to put it to good use by letting the RAF publicise itself. On the 30th of July 1920, the RAF staged a grand tournament at Hendon, a one-off publicity stunt to familiarise the public with the newest of the armed forces. It featured nearly every type of aircraft then in service, many of which, like their pilots, were veterans of the war. The programme of events included races, formation flying, bomb dropping, and demonstrations of aerial fighting tactics. One of the more popular performances was the attack and destruction of a kite balloon by Sopwith Snipes, the climax of which saw the observer parachute to safety whilst the balloon burst into flames. Another highlight was a parachute descent by 21-year-old Miss Sylvia Boyden, the first female parachutist. More than 60,000 spectators attended the tournament, including His Royal Highness Prince Henry, Winston Churchill and Sir Hugh Trenchard, and over £7,000 was raised for the newly created RAF Memorial Fund. The event was an outstanding success and proved to be an inexpensive but highly effective way of gaining public support for the RAF. It was therefore decided that the tournament would be an annual event. Graham White would have to wait for his aerodrome a while longer. The next 4 years saw the RAF pageant, as it was now called, go from strength to strength. Visitor numbers increased every year, and so did the number of high-status guests. Their Majesties King George V, Queen Mary and Queen Alexandra were all regular spectators, as were the Duke and Duchess of York. Hendon was officially the place to be seen. The programme of events varied little from pageant to pageant, and visitors would be drawn back time and again to see their favourites. Air races, demonstrations and aerial stunts were all traditional crowd pleasers. Occasionally, however, a new event would be introduced that would set a precedent for the displays to come. One such event was the set piece. Introduced in 1921, the set piece involved a fictional, but very possible, scenario staged on a large set built especially for the event. During the course of the performance, the set would be completely destroyed, usually by aerial bombardment. For example, in 1921, a complete village was constructed on the premise that it had been occupied by enemy troops. A formation of British bombing aircraft then set about launching a devastating charge of explosives on the village, reducing it to a smouldering wreck. Although the set pieces were enormous fun to watch, they had a serious political purpose. Trenchard and his supporters were convinced that aerial bombardment was the future of warfare, and therefore key to the RAF's continuing existence. These demonstrations conveyed a very powerful message to the public and to foreign dignitaries alike. As well as demonstrating what the RAF could do, the pageants also offered a glimpse of the future. In 1922, the new and experimental types park was introduced to showcase some of the up-and-coming aircraft of the day. Notably, the Hurricane and Spitfire both made their debut in the new Types Park at Hendon. Record-breaking aircraft were often displayed here too. Like the set pieces, the new and experimental Types Park had an important message, which was to show that aviation was continually developing and that the RAF fostered innovation. By 1925, the event, now called the RAF display, had become a thoroughly professional affair, with the RAF handling all aspects of its organisation. Earlier that year, Claude Graham White had finally succeeded in selling his aerodrome to the government, giving the RAF a permanent place to stage their displays. Now, hundreds of personnel would be moved to Hendon a month before every display to undertake the necessary preparations for the most important event in the aerial calendar. Before long, a permanent secretary was appointed, a new 3,000-seater grandstand was built, and a loudspeaker system was installed. Over the next few years, attendance figures soared, peaking at 150,000 in 1930. Visitors flocked to see a plethora of events, including some novelties such as aerial skittles and balloon bursting. However, these glory days were not to last, and support for the displays gradually began to wane. The prevailing economic climate meant that fewer spectators could afford to attend, and at any rate, military spending was becoming unpopular. On a practical note, there had also been an increase in the number of accidents occurring at the displays, several of them fatal. Nevertheless, the RAF held a further 7 displays at Hendon. It is perhaps sadly ironic that the final display in 1937 was the largest and most well attended of those yet staged. Over 200,000 spectators and some 600 aircraft arrived at Hendon to enjoy the final display, named the RAF Coronation Display in honour of the new King, George VI. The programme started with the largest mass flying formation ever seen in the country. 250 aircraft flew over the royal enclosure, raising the curtain rather spectacularly on the final RAF display. The lineup of events for the day included many old favourites: aerial combats, aerobatics, inverted flying and balloon bursting. Even the kite balloon made a welcome return. The new Types Park was dominated by military aircraft, and the increased numbers of camouflage bombers signalled the shape of things to come. The display climaxed with one of the most spectacular set pieces yet seen. A port, complete with ships and anti-aircraft guns, was constructed, and spectators could hear reports from the port's control centre over the loudspeaker system. High-flying bombers and torpedo bombers lay waste to the port despite the best efforts of the defending fighter aircraft. And so the last RAF display came to a sensational close. Hendon would not see anything on this scale again. The thrilling aerial displays were later replaced by the more mundane Empire Air Day, when stations up and down the country opened their doors to the public. Eventually, the Second World War would put an end to this too. Over the years, the RAF displays earned an unrivalled reputation for spectacle, split-second timing and expert crowd control. They were seen by more than 4 million people and raised over £150,000 for RAF charities. The efficiency with which the displays were run, the technological innovations regularly on show, and the overwhelming public support helped to show the government that there was a future in air power. The displays had won the people over and secured the RAF's independence. Trenchard's grand vision had at last been realised.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum.
This summer, the Royal Air Force Museum is recreating an Edwardian era pageant. This is a free event running from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, the 14th and 15th of June, at the Royal Air Force Museum, London. For further details, please see our website.